I could get everyone to take their seats, please, we're going to get started. Thank you for coming. I will officially call to order the Joint Committee on Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs and Transportation Working Group. We're here today to study the Metropolitan Airports Commission governance, and we're encouraging citizen involvement, and we're going to ask that citizens limit their testimony to 3 minutes. We figure we will have a large number of people who would like to speak. We do have a sign-up sheet over on the table if you have not yet signed up. I will be attempting to keep this balanced so that those who are in favor and those who are opposed will have an equal opportunity to speak. I would, again, just like to go over a few quick rules. These mics on the table, members, these mics on the table have to be passed in order for anyone to hear you. So if you'd like to speak, you need to make sure that you have a microphone or you will not be heard. I'm going to have members at the table introduce themselves and where they're from. Just say who you are and what district you represent, and then we're going to move right to testimony. There is a packet over on the table that was prepared by House Research that's nonpartisan information, and then we have the talking points from the MAC as well as the facts about the lawsuits that are currently going on. So with that, I would like to start with introductions. I'm State Representative Deborah Hillstrom, and I chair the Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs Committee, and I represent Brooklyn Center and parts of Brooklyn Park.
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom, and I am Frank Hornstein, and I represent District 6BB, which is in Southwest Minneapolis, and I'm the chair of the Transportation Policy and Transit Subcommittee of the Transportation Committee, and we have several members here because there is an intersection where transportation policy and local government come together on a number of issues, and one of them is airports. So we're really pleased to be here as well.
I'm Mary Liz Holberg. I represent most of Lakeville on both the transportation and the local government committee, and also we have a reliever airport located partially in Lakeville.
Mark Biskins, I represent a large portion of Scott County, including the cities of Savage, Elko, Newmarket, and Jordan.
I'm Lyle Coonan, and I represent Renville County, Chippewa County, and Eastern Yellow Medicine County. I'm a member of the Local Government Committee.
I'm Representative Marco Olson. I represent District 16B, which is entirely within the boundaries of Sherburn County, Becker, Big Lake, Zimmerman, and part of the Elk River areas. Thank you.
I'm Melba Radke, House CFL Research Staff.
I'm Jean Lefevre, House Research Analyst.
My name is Erin Hubert, and I am the Local Government Committee Assistant.
My name is Peter Strohmeyer. I'm the Committee Administrator for Local Government and Metro Affairs.
I'm Abby Mahan. I'm the House Transportation Committee Administrator.
Thank you. I'm Sandy Mason. I represent 38A, which includes basically the western portion of Eagan and Precinct 6, 9, and 10 in Burnsville. And I do want to take this opportunity to thank both Chair Hillstrom and Chair Hornstein for having this meeting here tonight locally so we can have your input. There's a lot of challenges and opportunities for living near the airport, and that's what we wanted to focus on tonight. And I also wanted to mention that Bert McAfee, who is the MAC board member from our district, mentioned that he is out of state tonight, so he will not be here.
I'm State Representative Will Morgan, and I represent about two-thirds of Burnsville and a small portion of Savage.
I'm Senator Jim Carlson, and I represent most of Eagan and some of Burnsville, and I am a guest here at the hearing tonight. Thank you.
I'm Representative Rick Hansen. I represent the northern part of Eagan, Mendota Heights, Mendota, Lilydale, West St. Paul, and the northern part of South St. Paul.
My name is Lynn Wardlow, 38B, and I represent Egan, the half that Santa Mason doesn't represent. And thank you for having us.
All right. Before we get started, I do want to note that a number of elected officials from the area are here, and they have signed, some of them have signed up to testify. But if you wanted to quickly stand, just so people can see that you're here, anyone who is elected to the local community or anyone, thank you for coming. Next, I also wanted to comment that the Metropolitan Airports Commission is in attendance, but they are not planning to testify at this point. But the chairman, Jack Lanners, is here, Commissioner Mike Landy, Commissioner Lisa Peelin, along with several MAC staff members. They will be here after. Some of them will be here after in the event that there are questions. But at this point, this is about hearing from the citizens here, and we want to make certain that there is enough time for everyone who would like to speak to be able to speak. So with that, I am going to start with Diane Miller. She's from the city of Egan, if you'd like to come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes, and we do have a timer, and so we have a one-minute warning, 30 seconds, and time's up, and so we'd ask that you finish your thought when your time is up so that we can be fair to everyone. Go ahead and state your name for the record. This is recorded, and it is an official hearing.
Good evening. My name is Diane Miller. I'm the assistant to the city administrator here in the city of Egan, and I also staff the city's Airport Relations Commission, so very involved in the airport issues for the community. Mayor McGuire had hoped to attend tonight, and he does pass along his regrets that he could not be here due to a previous commitment, but he did ask that I address you on his behalf. As you would expect, the city of Egan has a particular interest in the successful operation of MSP Airport, which is why the city has long advocated for representation on the MAC. Let me offer a few central reasons why Egan feels they should have more of a voice on the MAC than they currently do. First, it's estimated that this airport contributes more than $6.4 billion into the regional economy and supports more than 100,000 jobs in our region. Many of those jobs are located in Egan, particularly with Northwest and Mesaba headquarters being located here. Second, in addition to the city's obvious interest in the economic generation at the airport, Egan also has a keen interest in representation on the MAC, given the impact of the airport on the city's transportation infrastructure, as well as the impact on any potential new development or redevelopment in our community. The city and the airport have long been public safety partners, as Egan Police Department serves as a provider of mutual aid in the event of any kind of disaster at MSP. I do want to be very clear on behalf of the community that while noise is an obvious negative attribute of living close to an airport, noise is not the sole reason that the city is seeking representation on the MAC. Clearly, from an economic, transportation, and public safety perspective, it makes sense from a public policy standpoint that the city should have representation on the MAC in order to best serve as a partner with the airport. The current structure of the MAC from the city's perspective is not working, and perhaps that statement is in and of itself is why we're here tonight. Over the past decade, the city of Egan can count on only one occasion where it has had person-to-person contact with its MAC commissioner. And that's a problem when our commissioner is supposed to be a representative of our community. Moreover, by statute, municipalities and you as legislators are to be involved in the appointment process of our MAC commissioners. This is not happening today. Perhaps if the cities adjacent to the airport and you, our legislators, were more involved in the selection process, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. While the city of Egan does seek sole representation on the MAC, in the least, the city would like to be involved in the selection process of MAC commissioners, see greater transparency in the appointment process, and trust that our MAC representative will commit to communicating with the city in order that he can truly represent what is in the best interest of the district in which he represents. Again, I thank you very much for coming here tonight and appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Representative Fitzgibbon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I just have a question of process for tonight. Are we going to be allowed to ask questions and maybe explore some of the comments that the testifiers are making as committee members so that we can get a better understanding if we have questions in our mind as we proceed forward?
Representative Biskins, questions will be allowed at a limited extent, and the reason is because we do have a number of people here, and we want to make certain that everyone has the opportunity to testify, and we are going to have other hearings regarding this issue, and so in the event that we believe that something has been stated that is not accurate, we will do our best to clear up inaccuracies.
Okay, Madam Chair, then
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you would indulge, then I do have one quick question of the assistant administrator, if I could.
If you'd please come back to the table. Representative Biskin, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Miller, you advocate for EGAN having more representation on the MAC. Could you explain how this might be accomplished in your mind? Have you guys thought about how you can get more representation specific for the city of Egan?
Ms. Miller, go ahead.
Yes, Representative and committee members. In the last legislative session, we did propose legislation which was brought before the House Local Government Committee that would add additional representation for the communities adjacent to the airport, which would include Egan, Mendota Heights, Bloomington, and Richfield. Currently, Minneapolis and St. Paul already have a representative on the MAC. That legislation would have provided for four additional seats on the MAC.
Okay. Okay, Representative Biskin.
So, Madam Chair, Ms. Miller, you would advocate that the city of Egan have the same process in place that both the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul currently have in place.
Ms. Miller.
That was one suggestion offered through the legislation, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, next we're going to go with Jim Sensley. Please state your name for the record. Again, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Jim Spensley, and I'm the president of the South Metro Airport Action Council, a citizens' watchdog group around MSP. Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, committee members, legislators, and other public officials, ladies and gentlemen, I am Jim Spensley, and thank you for holding this hearing. We hope and trust it will result in the legislature improving how public, truly public, issues concerning airports and aviation are handled in Minnesota. You already know that thousands of people have been saying for years that the Airports Commission never credited our complaints about airport noise. Over the years, there have been tens of thousands of telephone complaints, and hundreds of questioners have shown up at quarterly MAC noise meetings, which are usually not attended by the commissioners. It's good to see some commissioners here tonight. Nevertheless, noise abatement and mitigation at MSP was reduced compared to the early days of expansion, even as flights and noise exposure were increased by the expansion. Reasonable complaints lodged by ordinary citizens are stifled at these MAC meetings by pseudoscientific explanations by the MAC noise department. Citizens are now saying that the state government allowed the MAC to misrepresent and cover up noise, safety, and pollution problems for at least a decade. MAC should abide by Minnesota law, but instead they offer up favorable comparisons with other airports in other states as sufficient evidence of their own legality or specific performance on their obligations under the noise abatement and environmental compliance laws. MAC and Northwest lobbies have also maneuvered quite a few loopholes and advantages in state law. Economists are saying that more flights, I'm sorry, I can't see your sign, Peter. Will you give me a minute warning? Thank you. Economists are saying that more flights but less local seats, high business fares, and few economy fares adversely affect the state economy. Northwest jobs in Minnesota are fewer than in the past, and airline airport job growth is slower. More important, other job creation related to aviation is less than in comparable non-hub cities, partly because Minnesota businesses are competitively disadvantaged by 30 to 40% higher business fares being based here. And knowledgeable people are gravely concerned about how high operational rates at the airport may be affecting safety.
Mr. Spensley, thank you very much. Mr. Spensley did submit written testimony, members. Given the limited time frame that we have given members, I want to make certain that members are aware of the written testimony that he is not going to be allowed to finish. So members want to make certain to read that.
Anticipating the question about what we propose to do, the last part of my testimony is three specific recommendations for our legislation that we believe would be helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
If there are any other questions, I'd be certainly happy to try to answer them.
All right. Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have Joe Kinnard. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Please come forward, state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Joe Kinnard. I'm a resident of Eagan. I've been on the barricades fighting the 150 expansion for years. I lost, but I bet I know more about the 150 update than you do. I'm here for a different reason tonight. You're in a quagmire with the existing airport. You got a Rube Goldberg airport. If noise doesn't shut you down eventually, volatile organic chemicals will. You know the biggest byproduct of a jet engine exhaust is formaldehyde. FAA and all the experts in the aviation kingdom build and say that's diminished. It means nothing. It's trace. Each flight is trace. But we're having 500,000 to 700,000 flights a year over our bedroom communities. It's cumulative in children. And nobody in our state will tell me how bad is it or how bad it's not. And we need some information, but that's not why I'm here. Let's move ahead. You're going to run out of room in 2020 with your existing facilities. You're going to have to start land banking. There's no transportation in this Augustine body to land bank property for a new airport. The dual media was a farce. I'm sorry. It was a farce. I moved here from Denver in 96. I was involved in moving Stapleton. And I've read volumes on the dual track, and it was a farce. Now, what I'm saying is, let's do it again. Let's organize a land bank opportunity, or at least a method to land bank. And then let's give it to some professionals away from the smelly political influence of Minnesota politics and start looking toward the future of moving this thing out from the city. Do you know in 96, Arnie Carlson fired the MAC chief because he said, we can't do this to these people. Yeah, he unloaded him. It was going to make him look bad. Now, I don't want to sit here and just whine, but I want you to take a look at land banking. Look how many cities are already doing it. Why can't we do that here? Admitting you made a mistake with what we got now? I'm sorry. And I thank you for being here. I wish you had been here when we needed you on the 1735 expansion. I don't know any of you people. I've never heard of this group, but thanks for being here. I'm out of here. Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right. Next is Jerry Berquist. Please come to the table. State your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Jerry Berquist. The MAC is not your friend. In fact, the MAC is not even a good neighbor. In the real world, if you wanted to build a fence on your leased property that would have a serious impact on your immediate neighbors, you would at least talk with your neighbors to discuss the fence. In St. Paul at Holman Field, the MAC claimed that they needed to erect an over a mile-long, 9-foot-high steel floodwall right at the river's edge. That's right, the Mississippi River, the Big Mud. The wall, they claimed, would reduce the time that their corporate clients would be able to use the Holman Field at the next time it flooded, because, after all, it is built on the floodplain. They lost their first battle. The city council voted against 4-3 against the flood wall. Rather than take the battle to the court system like they should have, the MAC twisted the arm of the mayor, who then twisted the arm of a Congress representative, and the process went through again, and they actually had the opportunity to build the flood wall. The MAC does not play fair. The discussion about the resubmitted was stacked in their favor and did not permit representation of neighborhood groups that are impacted by the noise of the airport. Even today, a group that was put together called the Downtown Area Airports Commission, I'm a member of it, to deal with the sound problems, consists of 16 members. It's stacked right now, 11 people that use airports to 5 of us that are actually members of communities that have sound impacts in there. Right now, I think that basically the MAC behaves like a bunch of frat boys, rich frat boys, that are always expecting to get their way. But I won't bore you with the details about some of the other things that they did with their reneging on their promises in St. Paul and creating major construction in St. Paul without pulling the appropriate permits. You can contact me for further details. I'm just here to say that as somebody that is dealing with the Metropolitan Airports Commission at Holman Field, which will, by the way, become one of the largest small corporate jet aircraft reliever airports, they do not play fair, and I believe they are not good neighbors, and they are not doing St. Paul any real favors, unless, of course, you happen to be in the airline industry. Thank you very much.
Mary Hammond Rowland. Please state your name for the record and go ahead.
It's Mary Hammond Rowland, and thank you, Chair Hellstrom and Chair Hornstein. It's great to see all of you. I want to reiterate my name. It's Mary Hammond Rowland. I am the mayor of Apple Valley, and I want to thank you all for taking the time this evening to be able to, on a night, a beautiful night, to hear what our community has to say about this issue. With me this evening, I also have our city administrator, Tom Lowell, and our city council member, John Bergman. Apple Valley recognizes that the MSP provides important economic engine for the entire state of Minnesota, as well as the Midwest region as a whole. Cities, residents, and businesses located in close proximity to the airport tend to experience greater impacts from airport-related policies and activities. Many businesses have located where they are specifically because of that proximity to the airport. These businesses depend on access and transportation systems that can quickly and efficiently transport people and goods to the airport. Many residents who work at the airport and airport-related industries choose to live in close proximity to the airport. And when the airport-related economy is strong, these residents, businesses, and their communities will reap a great share of the gain. However, when the airport-related economy weakens, these residents, businesses, and communities bear a greater share of the burden. In addition to the economic impacts, the airport also generates a negative side effect in unwanted noise. The businesses, residents, and communities located near the airport and under flight tracks bear nearly all the burden of unwanted noise. The current districting of the MAC board provides representatives from parts of the metro area that have distant proximity to the airport, including a number of representatives from Greater Minnesota. There are a very small number of representatives from districts that represent the communities that bear the burdens of close proximity to the airport. This has led to an unfair overrepresentation of communities that largely experience the general overall economic benefits of having an international airport, but it has also led an underrepresentation of the communities that experience the negative economic swings and noise impacts that are associated with communities that have close proximity to the airport. Apple Valley supports reexamining the structure of the MAC to create representation structure that more fairly represents its citizens, businesses, and communities that bear the burden of the negative impacts of close proximity to the airport. This position is consistent with the position taken at Metro Cities Association, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening, and our city administrator will have my prepared testimony for you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions from members? Okay, great. Pam, please come forward and pronounce your own name. Thank you. If you could state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Pam Dimitrenko. I am the assistant to the city manager for the city of Richfield. I'm speaking here on behalf of the Richfield City Council. They apologize. They're not able to be here tonight. They are having a special meeting on roundabouts. But I have prepared remarks that we are distributing to you all. I just want to touch or spend my 3 minutes addressing some of the many ways that being a neighbor to the airport, and I wanted to show you how, actually, let's see here. That's upside down. There. This is all Richfield, and here's the airport. So in some instances, these homes that have now been removed were only 1,200 feet from the new runway. There are many areas in which we have experienced challenges and opportunities being a neighbor of the airport. They're positive and negative. They're not all negative. And I don't want to repeat what Diane said, but certainly we share a lot of the same opinions that Egan has spoken to this evening. Land use, the expansion of MSP and Richfield's response to those expansion has resulted in a total loss thus far of 522 single-family homes, 88 multifamily units, over 117,000 square feet of business space. We've lost a church, our beloved golf course, a couple of parks. And so we've lost a significant tax base. We've had to make adjustments on our east border of Richfield. So we've really experienced a lot of land impacts that not all the other communities have, but that are still ongoing today. We've responded to this challenge by developing a long-term strategy for our eastern border to build more airport-compatible uses that MAC would like to see us do as well on that side, and to protect our remaining residents from impacts from airport operations. But, of course, as you're developing, we have unique challenges such as building height restrictions, state safety zone restrictions, federal safety criteria, local land use regulations. In addition, we've even developed more stringent construction standards for residential on our east side to try to address low-frequency noise impact. Those construction costs are about 20% over normal costs. And we're not going to realize that those premium costs will not get reflected in additional property value. We have recreation impacts that are in the prepared remarks, as well as mutual aid, public safety. We share with police and fire response to critical incidents. We have to undergo special training. We deal with jet emissions. Both people experience a film on their home, on the outside of their home, from jet emissions. We have air quality issues. Please just look over our remarks. I'd be happy to stand for questions at a future time. Thank you very much for this evening and taking time to hear from us.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you.
Please hand me the mic.
I know over the years there's been various tax proposals for the city of Richfield, additional funds for the school district for lost students. Can you give me some kind of rundown as far as what special aids that you get relative to your proximity to the airport, whether in local government aids or school aids?
We do not receive any special aids, local government aids, for being next to the airport. We did, years ago, there was legislation to give our school district some assistance, and that since then it's gone away. So we never did, our school district never did get, they were going to get for the number of students that we were losing, because we lost a number of homes, and you're losing a lot of students, and there goes a lot of revenue. We did have a bill in place that was supposed to help us with that, and my understanding is it subsequently went away in like two sessions subsequent to that. We do have a special TIF district dealing with the eastern area of Richfield that we have special difficulty with redeveloping, and so we've worked very hard to get that assistance in order to help us redevelop to more airport compatible uses and remove the people who are, you know, right now living very close to a very busy airport.
Representative Holbert.
And then just a follow up, given the amount of investments that have been made in the homes with new windows, air conditioning, et cetera, do you have any numbers as far as the increased valuation as a result of those investments? I mean, I know three families in Lakeville that waited for their noise insulation and took anywhere between $20,000 and $40,000 in equity out of their homes in Richfield and invested them in homes in Lakeville after the investment of the noise mitigation upgrades to their homes. And so, I mean, I know some of it is offset by the proximity, but I mean, when these homes get all new windows, air conditioning, et cetera, there has to be some increased value to the homes as a result of that investment.
I honestly can't speak to the fact that they've experienced a huge increase in value because of the mitigation. I think, quite honestly, it is offset by their proximity to the airport. I know that one of our former council members who lives over in this area, her house has been for sale for over a year. It's a nice home, but everybody who goes through it says, nice house, but I don't want to be this close to an airport. I'd like to think that most homeowners honestly appreciate the mitigation packages that have been made available to them that live closest to the airport, and they've you know, it's really improved their quality of life. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to remind people in the audience that if you'd like to testify, you do have to sign up on the table over on the left-hand side over here. If you don't sign up, we're not going to just let people come up at the end to the table to testify when we run out. So if you want to testify, please sign up. Tom Diamond, please come to the table. State your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Tom Diamond. I would encourage you to do something about the governance of MAC, but I think it's not just membership. It's them being responsible, and that takes more than just adding membership. I'll just give you a couple examples of things that happened. One is the diversion of funds from MSP. One example of that is Holman Field. They're building a $29.5 million flood wall, and much of those funds are being diverted from MSP. So you, as a user of the airport, fly an airport, you pay fees, various fees and charges at the airport, and those funds are being diverted to subsidize the flood wall for the corporate jet owners. It's like charging bus riders to subsidize limousines. The jet owners are not being assessed one dime for the work at that facility. All of it is being diverted from, it's coming from MSP, other sources, and including state bonding funds. Those are funds that could be used for sound insulation or improving service for the general public at MSP. Also, MAC controls the use of service facilities and parking at that facility. The MAC has argued that they have to divert funds and subsidize the private corporate jet owners because otherwise they'll use MSP. MAC controls the field, access to the field, and what facilities are there. If the facilities and access are not there for the private users, they cannot and will not use that facility. An example of another case is Fleming Field, and that is owned by the city of South St. Paul and is funded, both operating and capital costs are paid for by the users of that field. The MAC should be required to have self-supporting airports, that the airports be self-supporting. I'd also encourage you to look at the issue of one of the things that MAC has bragged about, as MAC bragged about their efforts and support of reducing the property taxes for the jet owners at these airports. The hangars for these jets and other aircraft at the airport have now been changed to a seasonal recreational status from commercial status. While the taxes are going up for homeowners, the taxes have dropped a third for these corporate jet owners. I would also encourage you to take a look at requiring sound monitoring for runways over 5,000 feet, the jet, not just at MSP, but other ones. There is not monitoring at many of the other fields. One of the other things I would encourage you to look at is meeting location. Their meeting location is held at the airport. You have to go in through a ramp. You have to go down, get a letter filled out. You have to go up through the process. You have to take your shoes off, go through security. That is not the way to hold public hearings. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Representative Beard was first. He does need the mic, though.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I hardly know where to begin with this testimony because many of you know I've spent the first 5 years of my legislative life dealing with these issues. The first thing I can do is I can agree with the testifier that perhaps he's on to something with where the MAC holds their meetings. although it's not the MAC's doing, that we have to take off our shoes and our belts and do all that other mischievous stuff just to go to a public meeting. That's Homeland Security that dictates that. Many of us would like to see MAC either have an alternative entrance to the facility or hold those public meetings over on 24th Avenue South or some other facility that they own. In fairness to the MAC, when they do have their big public hearings where there's going to be a lot of folks like this, they usually go off-site, a local hotel or something like that, and try to accommodate it. But still, the day-to-day business of the MAC that is done in the terminal building from a bygone era when we used to go to the gates to greet our loved ones and all that stuff, those days are gone. And I agree with you on that. However, when it comes to the reliever airports, your tax classifications and everything else, I could not agree with you less. And we'll talk about a couple things. First of all, the tax classification change to what you call seasonal recreational, that's not entirely accurate. First of all, it was the legislature's responsibility to do that, not the MAC. We did it for pole barns all over the state. At one time, members, they used to, real estate appraisers across the state were classifying hangars, which are largely Menard buildings, with no heat and asphalt floors, as if they were commercial buildings. And so Representative Andy Westerberg, I think, led the charge on that. It took him a couple sessions to pass a real estate classification that specifically said, unless it was a commercial building, it actually should be taxed as if it was a pole barn instead of something much more valuable than that. I based my airplane at Fleming Field. It is a very well-run airport. It has entirely different origins than the six reliever airports that the MAC was required to buy when the MAC was constituted in 1947, 1948 or thereabouts. And I would probably somewhat agree to you that MAC reliever airports are not the most tightly run operations from an economic perspective. They're getting better. They're getting better. But there's a reason whenever you get more seniority on the MAC, you bid to a reliever airport, you get off of MSP, because they are easier airports to work at, a little more laid back. And I think there is a lot of room there to tighten up the costs. As far as the expenses go, the revenue to be generated, there was a specific reason that the relievers were required to be developed. And again, that was a legislative policy.
If I could just interrupt for just one moment, Representative Beard. I really do want to make sure that we get to all of
the I will come
So if you have a question, that would be great. Otherwise, if you want to just kind of shorten statements, that would be great.
I just have I'm trying to correct some misperceptions that the witness just put out there. There is a legislative mandate that they actually use funds from MSP to run the relievers, and there's a very good reason for doing that. A delay on the 747 is several hundred dollars a minute. A delay on the average corporate jet is not nearly so much, and about 20% of the operations at MSP are still general aviation operations that we'd very much like to see at Holman, Flying Cloud, or Anoka County. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. And Representative Biskins, did you have a question?
If I could respond, Representative Beard. First of all, as far as the pole buildings in small airports throughout the state, that's one issue. But the facilities at Holman, very serious commercial buildings, hangaring numerous corporate jets, were brought in with it, and they are now the buildings owned by some of the largest corporations in the state, being used solely for business purposes, are getting taxed on a seasonal recreational category.
We certainly can check into that. We do have another question from a committee member, so if you
want to. And I was going to say, as far as the having to subsidize them, it's real important for people to know that MAC at MSP controls access to the field, parking, what facilities are located there. Corporate jets, if they do not have a facility to fuel, to park at, to have lobbies in other facilities, will not operate out of that facility because they don't have a place to unload and board passengers, nor would they have the fuel. So MAC can control who operates out of that field without subsidizing the other operations.
All right. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Diamond, earlier we heard testifiers from other cities talk about the ability to communicate or responsiveness with their MAC commissioners. And you mentioned a lot about Holman Field, and you are in St. Paul. I would like maybe some feedback in your ability to communicate with your MAC commissioner or responsiveness, how you feel that openness or ability to speak with your representative or the governance of how that structure affects the concerns that you're raising?
The answer to that, when community representatives have asked for public hearings on issues, including issues that, according to the law, require public hearings, citizens have been denied holding public hearings by MAC. When MAC has agreed in writing to agreements, specific things that they will do, they break the promises and do not follow up on it. This happens repeatedly with the MAC. They are very unresponsive to the public and do not honor their agreements in writing and in word. And this is not a rare occasion. This is the common practice with MAC.
If I might ask you, if you would make a list of the agreements that you believe that they made and did not keep, if you would submit that to the committee, I would.
I'd be glad to do that. I'd be glad to do that.
All right.
They've also submitted documents that, if not fraudulent, certainly are very deceptive in submitting. And one example of that is they had to do a cost-benefit analysis on it. In that cost-benefit analysis, they listed under there that one of the users had actual loss of $1 million for a flood in, I believe it was 2002. But anyways, they listed it. These were reports that were supposed to be submitted by the users. What we find out in the record is that, first of all, the user did not submit this record. The user has said they did not have this damage during the flood. And as a matter of fact, they sandbagged it so they would not have it. So they reported that the specific damages listed on it, and the user said it didn't happen.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
You're welcome.
John Huber. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is John Huber, Mayor of Mendota Heights, and good evening, Chair Hillstrom, Chair Horstein, and members of the committee. Thanks for allowing us to testify tonight, and particularly for coming out to the community and let this happen. Really appreciate it. As a city that lies directly across the river from MSP and having land within the 65 DNL, we have a long history of interaction with the Metropolitan Airports Commission and the operations at MSP. We accept that MSP will continue to be our neighbor for decades to come. We also recognize that this proximity has had some advantages to our community. However, we've been continually challenged to have a MAC that is willing to engage in real discussions about all of the issues that we confront with MSP's proximity to our border. Our ability to zone and develop needs to be mindful on an ever-growing and ever-shifting noise footprint. Our paid professional emergency responders need to continually drill and have the necessary equipment ready to respond to a potential off-site or on-site airplane incident. Planning and land acquisition of transit corridors to service MSP have impacted our development plans. And I'm sure other communities have experienced similar problems who are adjacent to MSP. Unfortunately, the feedback from the MAC commissioners has been less than responsive. The MAC commissioner who represents Mendota Heights publicly has argued that it's the cities themselves that should pay for noise mitigation, not MAC. Now, most of us up here are elected people. I think we all support free speech and a range of opinions. But to have someone who represents us take that opinion is, I believe, curious at best and cavalier at worst. We are asking that the makeup of MAC be adjusted. We support the legislation that Diane Miller referred to earlier this evening. We're also willing to look at other options as well. Our MAC commissioner has been unresponsive to meeting with us, as have past MAC commissioners. We've met with our Metro Council representatives many times over the years. MAC is noticeable by their absence. In closing, Chair Hillstrom, Chair Hornstein, and members of the committee, we've been able to endure being neighbors of MSP for quite a while, but we now believe it's time to have a seat at the table. Thank you, and I'd be happy to try to respond to any questions.
Questions from members?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. All right, next we have Mark Mickelson. Please come to the table, state your name for the record. I believe you have written testimony as well, is that correct?
Yes.
Being passed out?
Yeah.
Okay, members,
just
the testimony being passed out.
My name is Mark Michelson. I'm a member of Zero Expansion, an organization concerned about impacts from the Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie. Thank you for providing this forum. It's become apparent to us that MAC has lost its purpose of serving the residents of Minnesota and instead serves only aviation industry interests. Specifically, MAC's philosophy has become to expand aviation, no matter what the actual need, no matter what the actual cost, without regard to economic, environmental, or human impact. That is not what Minnesota legislators intended when MAC was created. Minnesota Statute Section 473.602 says, MAC is supposed to assure the residents of the metropolitan area of the minimum environmental impact from air navigation and transportation, and to that end provide for noise abatement, control of airport area land use, and other protective measures. MAC is also supposed to promote the overall goals of the state's environmental policies and minimize the public's exposure to noise and safety hazards around airports. It is clear that MAC ignores these purposes. MAC has violated environmental laws. MAC has not disclosed all the environmental impacts from the proposed expansion of Flying Cloud. MAC has illegally condemned private property, including residences in Eden Prairie, for proposed expansion prior to receiving approval for the project from the EQB or the FAA. MAC has violated state laws by refusing to provide the public with data according to the State Data Practices Act. In fact, an advisory opinion was issued chastising MAC for unlawfully withholding documents from our organization. A government agency that is not elected or responsive to the people it serves should conduct its business in the open with full disclosure to the public. MAC plays loose with the truth. MAC falsified data in its EIS regarding the number of stopovers from Flying Cloud to other metro airports. A 1997 MAC survey of six fixed-base operators showed 16 to 29 stopovers a year. In its supplemental EIS, MAC reported 8,300 stopovers. When confronted that this discrepancy exceeded all the jets reported at Flying Cloud, MAC made up a new number of 2,500 stopovers a year, stating that respondents to the survey had made a mistake, even though the original survey clearly showed only 16 to 29 stopovers a year. We've been opposed to the proposed expansion of Flying Cloud for almost 20 years. In all the 20 years, Eden Prairie has never had its own representative on the MAC Commission, even though the Flying Cloud Airport is wholly located in Eden Prairie. MAC has designated seats for members from Rochester, St. Cloud, and Duluth, but not Eden Prairie. It is definitely time for the legislator to correct that oversight. Finally, MAC has continually violated its mandates to Minnesota, particularly to those of us who are impacted by MSP and the reliever airports. They have continually sidestepped the procedures and processes that ensure that Minnesotans will not be affected by harmful environmental impacts. We ask our legislators to form a nonpartisan oversight commission of the MAC and put all projects on hold until there is a full accounting of need, economic viability, and negative impacts. MAC's focus should be protecting and safeguarding the economic, environmental, and community concerns of Minnesotans, not subsidizing the aviation industry.
Thank you. Questions from members? Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Michelson, there's a number of I think pretty serious issues that you raised, and I think they do deserve more investigation by us and others. But
we've got 20 years of them.
Excuse me?
We've got 20 years of them.
Okay. Well, there's one in particular on the first paragraph on the second page that I guess if you could briefly elaborate on. Private funding for an airport that's, I know in Branson, Missouri, they have a private airport. There's a few around the country, but this is the first I've heard in the region. Could you elaborate on
private funding? Oh, I didn't really go into that.
Excuse me, if you could just wait till Representative Hornstein finishes the question and then go ahead.
No, I just, some elaboration would be, briefly, I think would be helpful because this is, I think, particularly concerning. So you could
Well, there's been recent discussions about how they're going to fund the expansion at the airport and some other projects around there, and they have gone to, in fact, I don't know if it's it's happened in other reliever communities or not, but they have gone to the Eden Prairie Chamber of Commerce and said that they would like to have private contributions from private parties to help fund projects at the airport.
So it's just a funding issue rather than an ownership type of partnership.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you. Further questions? All right. Next is Lindsay Getzky. Please come forward, state your name for the record. Lindsay? Okay. Curtis Algex. Please come forward, state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, I'm Curtis Algis, and thank you very much for the opportunity to address this group tonight. I had the opportunity at the Capitol to submit some statements already, so I'll try to skip over those a little bit and maybe not take my full 3 minutes to allow more people time to converse on this. But basically, what I want to say is I'm a longtime resident of Eagan. I've had 3 chances to move back to this area, and each time we've chosen to move back to Eagan because we like the area. Eagan has a lot invested in what happens at the airport, noise-wise and commercially. We benefit greatly from the fact that we have Northwest as one of our companies in our neighborhood, and a lot of the companies that work at the airport, transportation companies, have offices here in Eagan. So it isn't just one issue for Eagan. It's not just a noise issue. It's we need to be represented. I think maybe second to Minneapolis itself. I think Eagan has been greater impacted by the airport than any other suburbs, and yet we do not have representation on the MAC. And it may not seem obvious to you what type of problems these cause, but sitting on the Eagan Airport Relations Commission, I see that they do. The latest thing that's happened about, well, starting about April of this year, maybe earlier March, they decided that they were going to fully use the new runway, 1735. I can see a need for that to see that, how much this $1.3 billion investment is going to pay off, but really there was no need for it. For a year and a half, they were using the airport, but not to the capacity that they said they were going to. What has happened when they used 1735 to the degree that they had promised us? They're now running planes over densely residential areas. In fact, the DNL, which is not just a linear measurement, but the average DNL in some of the places has increased by 7 in the residential areas. The areas that have been specifically zoned, commercial and industrial, have been zoned for airport noise has actually dropped during this time. And it just doesn't seem to make sense to many of the residents of Eagan. A lot of my neighbors come to me and say, why are we doing this? Why are we putting airplanes over residential areas when there's no need to, capacity-wise, efficiency-wise? And now we're greatly impacting residential areas in Eagan when we have industrial commercial areas zoned for that specific reason. And we don't have a voice at the MAC, therefore we can't be heard, and we can't get this changed. Thank you, and I'll be open to questions if you have any.
Questions from members? All right, seeing none. Thank you. All right, next we have Andrew and Carol Barker. Andrew and Carol? Hello, please come forward, state your name for the record, and go
ahead.
I'm
Carol Barker.
Okay, please have a seat. Go ahead.
We live in the elbow of 35W and Highway 62, right where they're tearing out houses. And we've been there for 17 years. My first weekend there, I cried because of the noise. We did not realize that we were going to be so severely impacted. I would really appreciate you people, and I do appreciate your service here, considering us little people under these flight paths when you're doing your discussions. We have, I watched this one nail in the front facade of our home gradually be vibrated out. It's not going to bring down the facade, but we are being severely impacted by this expansion and the increased flight activity over our home. Let alone, I mean, the noise, let alone the smell and, as the previous gentleman said, the VOCs, I think is very deleterious to our personal safety. And so I would appreciate your taking us seriously when you're considering these issues. Thank you.
If I could ask you a question.
Yes.
So you did not have the noise before the expansion occurred, so that's new. And then the second part to the question is, are you in the area that will be impacted by getting the sound protections or additions or not?
Well, we were supposed to be, but unfortunately that has stopped because of the lawsuits. So we have a choice whether to accept the $9,000 for renovations that we've already partially done ourselves just for our own survival, or to hope that something happens with the Minneapolis, et cetera, lawsuit. We have noticed an increase of flight activity over. I mean, I didn't realize it was as bad as it was going to be when we got in there on Friday the 13th. And the increase has been just unacceptable. But we were hoping that something would be done to help us just live through this. And I have to tell you, with this runway renovation, it's been really nice being able to wake up on a Sunday morning and not be vibrated out of bed. So, yes, we have noticed an increase. I mean, I just wish that they'd go off someplace else, but unfortunately that means harming other people. So, does that answer your question? Thank you.
Just real briefly, what noise contour area is your home located in? Are you in the 60 to 64? Or
I think we're in the 60 to 64. I mean, we're just right on the edge of it. And whether we'll ever, I mean, there's only so much you can do to deaden the noise. And we've already put in the AC at our expense. So other than hermetically sealing us in our home, I don't know what else can be done for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this is a question of staff. In our material provided for us, there was a time frame on the lawsuit that's currently in process, and I notice on the very back page of the packet, a final decision from the judge is expected on August 24th, 2007. Then in parentheses, it says this date has been extended by mutual agreement of the parties. Does staff have any information for this committee on when the time frame was extended to? Was it extended to a time certain, or is it extended open-ended?
Madam Chairman, Representative, I don't think there is a specific date. I think they've just asked the judge to consider delaying the decision for a bit. I believe that the parties are still negotiating.
Negotiating, yeah.
Representative Fiskins, do you have another question?
Thank you.
Representative Biskins, I will ask the MAC, do you have a specific date that the negotiations have been extended to? Again, I have asked the MAC to limit their comments today to make certain that this was a citizen debate, a citizen forum here. But so do you have a specific date? Representative Biskins.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I really appreciate that. I guess the only thing I'm interested in is the testifier mentioned that everything has been placed on hold now while the lawsuit's going on, and I understand that. And so just having some information for this committee on when the lawsuit or the negotiations is expected to end, it just helps put a little clarity on that. So if there is a date or if there's not, I guess that's information I'd like to have.
Come forward to the microphone if you could clarify if there is a date for us. That would be helpful. State your name for the record.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Nigel Finney. I'm Deputy Executive Director for Planning and Environment of the Metropolitan Airports Commission. The original date was September 24th, as has been indicated. There was a subsequent extension to September 5th. And there is now a further 30-day extension to October 5th. So that's about what we're looking at this point. There have been a series of meetings between MAC and the cities in an effort to resolve the litigation.
Do you anticipate another request for extension?
Madam Chair, that depends on, I think, the nature of the continuing conversations.
All right, thank you. Are there further questions for Mrs. Baker? Representative Hansen, if you could please come back up.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Ms. Baker. It's kind of a similar question to what I asked before. We've heard about other citizens and communities being able to communicate with their MAC commissioner, and just wondering if you've been able to have any contact with your MAC commissioner or how you feel responsive they are.
Well, I'm sorry to expose my ignorance, but I didn't know that we had a MAC commissioner assigned to us. And I can tell you, I will be, if I'm reading the map correctly, I believe it's Mr. Williams. And so I will be contacting that gentleman to express my sentiments. So other than attending these meetings, I haven't had any interaction with him.
All right. Thank you. Further questions? Representative Wardlow.
I don't have a question, but I was remiss before. I have another engagement that I'm an hour and a half late for, but I wanted to come to this, and I also wanted to see. I miss this committee. I see the familiar faces, and I remember eminent domain, et cetera. That was fun. So I do miss this committee, and I'm sorry I have to leave, but I'm already late, so.
All right. Well, we appreciate you attending, Representative Wardlow. We know that this is an issue that you do care about. All right. Further questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have Tom Hansen. Well, Tom is coming to the table. I just want to remind people in the audience one last time, if you have not yet signed up over at the table, make certain that you do that because we are running out of names on the list of testifiers, and we will not be taking people from the audience if you haven't signed up. So go ahead. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Tom Hansen. I'm Chief of Operations for the City of Burnsville. Mayor Coates sends her regrets. She could not make it tonight, so I'm representing Burnsville with a short position statement that they adopted this year that I'd like to read for the record. Burnsville supports the Association of Metropolitan Municipalities / Metro Cities, AMM, in other words, position which states specifically, in quote, we support a change to the governance structure of the MAC, which currently consists of 15 members, all appointed by the governor except for two, whom are appointed by the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul, acknowledging that the communities closest to MSP and reliever airport impacted communities are more significantly impacted by noise, traffic, and other numerous expansion-related issues, we support the broad goal of providing MSP impacted communities with greater representation on the Metropolitan Airports Commission. End quote. Burnsville further supports defining MSP-impacted communities as cities close into the airport, as indicated by Diane Miller's statements earlier tonight, the representative from Egan, and those cities most affected by newly established operations to and from runway 17/35 to specifically include Apple Valley and Burnsville. And the reason we, the city council took that position in Burnsville is because, as you know, 37% of the departures to MSP and 16% of the arrivals are from that new runway, and that is all new noise to the communities of Burnsville and Apple Valley specifically, despite the fact they're not within the 65 DNL noise contour. We feel that new noise carves out a special exception for cities such as Burnsville and Apple Valley.
Questions? All right, hearing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Vern Wilcox. Go ahead, please state your name for the record.
My name is Vern Wilcox. I'm a city councilman for the city of Bloomington. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity and for taking the time to come out and show interest in this night. I would like to give you a list of the broken promises from MAC, but I know that you all have families and probably would like to see them sometime this week. So, what I in addition to my city council duties, I also co-chair a group called NOC, which is in your packet. Just as an informational piece, NOC, the Noise Oversight Committee, is made up of 6 members from the communities and 6 members from the airport users group. I'm also a regional director for a group called NOISE, which is a national organization out of Washington, D.C. As part of our agreement, when MAC came to us and said that they had had a problem with the insulation program, as you remember, as part of the Part 150, they had agreed to insulate out to the 60 DNL. When they came back to us, you know, after 911, claiming they had a problem with the expense of it and they couldn't afford to fulfill our commitment, NOC actually came up with a compromise agreement and took it back to the MAC board. And this was reached by a majority of the NOC membership, which, remember, now 6 are made up from the airline users groups. MAC refused our compromise position, stating that basically that a promise from MAC is not a contract. They don't really listen to their own advisors, so I don't know why we would be surprised that they don't listen to legislators and their neighbors. You know. In close, I would just say it's a sad day when we have government agencies suing each other with taxpayer dollars. Thank you.
Questions from members? All right. I have one person left signed up on the list, so unless people go and sign up, this will be the last testifier. So, Azar Ansari, is that how you pronounce it? Please come to the table and state your name for the record.
Azhar Ansari, resident of Eden. By profession, I am an environmental engineer and a geophysicist. I live right at the boundary of Eden and Burnsville on Clark Street. Half the street is in Burnsville, the other half in Egan. It's an engineering zoning feat. The houses in Burnsville, they are odd numbered, and immediately the next house, the row of houses in Egan, are even numbered. So I have a queer problem of that kind, that due to the new runway, the airplanes which come from the, or roughly from the southern side going to the northern side, their frequency has increased off late, particularly in the afternoon and on in some cases at night also. As a result of this, I am using sleep apnea machine. I believe that we are aware that sleep apnea machine is meant for those who can't sleep for one reason or the other. But now this is due to the noise level in decibels. The contours have been drawn, but those contours apparently are not commensurate with my hearing. Thank you.
If you could please stay at the table in case there's questions. If you could please just stay at the table in case there's questions. Questions from members? Okay, I actually have a question. So how long have you lived in your current home?
I have been in this home for the last 15 years, but in the immediate vicinity, my family home is located, which was the first house of ours in the area, and we have been there for the last 35 years.
Okay. And so this increased noise has been because of the expansion or because of the runway that's under construction or...
The increase is due to the plane's landing on the extended runway, which comes near Eden.
Okay. And is that a permanent, is that a permanent?
This is a recent development. I wish it will not become permanent.
Okay. All right. Further questions from members? I just have one last question. So
please,
will you be outside? You're outside of the contours then of where you would get a sound package. Is that
contours correct? Can be drawn at any desirable interval. So it can't be said that I am outside the contours. The contours for which some compensation is being contemplated, they are a little away from my house.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Further questions from anyone? Thank you for coming and telling us your story.
You're welcome.
All right. Did anyone else sign up?
I spoke in lighter vein, and I didn't mean any offense. I hope it would be appreciated.
Yes.
Because with this kind of a meeting, when I'm not able to hear the other colleagues, there should be some sense of humor displayed.
Yes. Thank you. All right, we're just checking to see if anyone else has signed up. Was there anyone in the audience that signed up that has not yet testified? All right. Are there any questions from members before we wrap up? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There were a number of cities that talked about security costs, and that seemed to be a new component here, and I don't know if the cities or maybe just one city could maybe answer if they keep that as a separate line item, or do they know, has there been an increase? Is there an increase? Do they keep that on a separate line item for the training that goes on for airport response and training and security?
Did you want to come to the table and address that? State your name again for the
yes. Pam Dimitrenko, City of Richfield. I did address the security issues from Richfield. We share mutual aid with the MAC, meaning they respond to our incidents and we respond to theirs. We undergo special training to be able to respond to hijackings, plane crashes, whatnot. They're more soft costs. I mean, we do bear the cost of undergoing that special training, or, for example, we talked about when the president arrives at the airport and there's the security entourage, we have to use our officers along the freeways and whatnot to ensure security, and that's just at our expense. So it's just soft costs that we incur. I don't believe we put them out on a separate line, though.
All right. Thank you. Further questions? All right. Thank you. Representative Medor, did you want to make a comment?
Well, a comment and then just an observation. I know when I started working on this, when my local mayors came to me and Representative Morgan and Representative Mason asking us to look into this and adding a seat, it was not until I actually met with the MAC representatives that I found out we even had a commissioner that was responsible for my area. And I don't know how many cities are out there in this position, but I'm certainly aware tonight that there are a number of citizens. And I think we would go a long way in helping the MAC to understand that there's a PR problem here and that people need to understand how they can make complaints. Because when the complaints are coming to us or they're coming to the mayors and we don't have a vote on that committee or how a process is done at the MAC, it's very frustrating to not know where your complaints had to go. So I guess I would like to say it's just not the citizens tonight that you're a little frustrated that you don't know where you're go, who you're supposed to speak with and how the process is supposed to be handled, because oftentimes as elected officials, we're not told that either until we happen to stumble on it. So I'm not a member of this committee, so I would not have had reference. And certainly when we had a presentation at our transportation committee hearing, there was not a handout that listed all of the commissioners' names and what the process for complaints were and that sort of thing. So it's a comment, and I guess I'll just leave it at that. There's really not a question that these fine gentlemen here can answer, but I do think that we need to really be addressing how they're communicating with the public and how the public can get involved to at least make a complaint.
Thank you. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess I would hope that the committee administrator would provide copies of these documents to MAC, so that I know the intent was not to allow them to speak this evening, but I would at least like their response to some of the issues that have been raised, and absent their ability to access these documents, they won't be able to address those issues.
Representative Holberg, the last statement of the meeting that I was going to make is there any facts that the MAC believes that they need to correct? So to give them the opportunity to correct something that needed to be corrected, and then we would our call meeting.
And Madam Chair, I'm sure that there's plenty of things that they'd like to provide additional information and their ability. They might not have the correct documentation or whatever. So again, I would hope that the committee administrator would provide to MAC copies of these written comments so that they may prepare a response.
We will, and we also will have another hearing as well, and so they will have the opportunity at the Capitol to clear up anything they'd like. So, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, I appreciate this evening. I really do. I think it's kind of fun sometimes slapping around the MAC. It's kind of like sport, all right? And if that's fun, you should try the Met Council. That can be even more enjoyable. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it behooves us as elected officials to remember where the real buck stops. Right? You know, it's fun. You know, pick on the MAC. In fact, if you look back at the history of its creation, if you look back at the history of the Metropolitan Council's creation, it is because they have to deal with very, very contentious issues that the legislature didn't want to deal with. The legislature said, you know, this is too hot for us to deal with. We're going to create this entity over here and let them deal with it. And they can take the heat because they don't stand for election. But the buck stops with us. And so when we look at saying, well, we've got to tell the MAC that they have a communication problem, well, let's not tell them. Let's fix it. Right? We're the sovereign. Let's fix it. Right? And if that means ultimately reconstituting the MAC into a different shape and form that may be quite different than what was ever envisioned in 1943, I believe, when they were first constituted, the world has changed considerably since then. Yeah, I'm not sure the MAC has changed much in its makeup or its representation. Maybe we have to consider that. And I know MAC doesn't like hearing me say this. Well, no entity who is built and believes they're running well likes to hear that maybe they need to change fundamentally. but it's our responsibility to do that. I think MAC is doing exactly what we have asked them collectively. We, as elected officials, have asked them collectively. You know, this whole issue about noise and expansion, MAC didn't make that decision. MAC has no power to make that decision. The legislature and the governor in 1996 made that decision. They're just trying to carry out what we told them to carry out because they understand we're the sovereign. We can no longer abdicate our responsibility and simply be like a cat playing with a mouse. Right? Like I said, it's fun, but it's not productive. Right? We have to come up with some serious legislation to deal with the communication issue, to deal with the representation issue, to deal with the fundamental makeup of what MAC is and what it's all about. Or we have to decide maybe we don't. Because they have a pretty good track record nationally, right, in safety, in efficiency. Right? We have to look at that also. Right? But the blaming the MAC, you know, again, I don't think is very productive. We have to blame ourselves. If nothing changes, then it's us, and then we stand for election, and you have to get rid of us. If it's that important, get rid of us. And get somebody in there who will make the changes that you believe needs to be made. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Are there further statements or comments? Or Representative Slocum.
Madam Chair and Representative Viskins, I really liked what you had to say, and that's a compliment. My question is, you know, if the buck is going to stop, clearly, what we've heard, and we've heard at meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, meetings when I've been here as a legislator, meetings when I've been here as a human being, that this, those are different capacities, very much so, as an audience member, as somebody concerned, because I live a few blocks. My home is insulated. I live within the sound parameters, and with the new runway, the vibrations are amazing with an insulated house. Yeah, the nails do jiggle. I've had pictures fall. I've had things like that occur. I always just call it the airport ghost. But anyway, the buck stops. If we need to restructure, if we need to do something dramatic, and it sounds like we do, I believe we do, and I agree with you, we do. Well, the buck stops at the governor's office. Will he work with us? Can we put something together that the governor will sign? I'm tired of working and then having it go down the tubes. If we're going to have a bill that restructures and that actually moves forward, we got to get the governor working with us. I need your help. We need your help to do this. It's my community. The airport noise affects my communities dramatically. If we're going to move forward, we got to all move forward and not just some of the players.
All right. Thank you. Further questions or comments from members? Seeing none, I want – oh, did you want to make a comment? Representative Mason.
Again, I'd like to thank the committees very much for meeting and even today. And just kind of a rebuttal. Again, what this was intended is so that we as a group could actually hear many of the citizens who actually cannot make it to the Capitol on a regular basis. I think those of us who live near the airport are constantly getting input and comments, but it's really difficult to deal with, and I'm thinking this, you know, just to have everybody here with the pros and cons has been really, really helpful, and I think it has given us some additional information so that we can go forward, and hopefully we can make some positive additions. And again, thank you very much.
I promised as the committee was wrapping up that I would give the MAC an opportunity if they felt so compelled. If they didn't feel so compelled, you will have an opportunity at the Capitol. But if you feel that there's something that was, you know, grossly inaccurate that you feel you need to correct, I would give you this opportunity to come forward. State your name for the record.
Madam Chair, Jack Lanners, Chairman of the Metropolitan Airport Commission. I've been chairman for approximately just over 1 year now, and I don't really have a lot to say. There were certainly a lot of issues brought up here, a tremendous number of issues, and we will certainly address them in one by one. We've kept a good record of the hearing. We feel this is very important. We like to be here. We like to hear this, in all honesty. When I was commissioner of District F, I think I did meet with a number of the cities in Washington County and parts of Ramsey. Not all the cities, but not all of them contacted me. I did contact some of them, and I know we have Commissioner Phelan, who's recently joined the commission, is talking to various cities in her district, going out of making that contact, and I think those are good things. So with that said, we'll address many of the issues. You can guess that there probably is a different perspective and point of view on quite a number of them, but we'll do that in writing and get that out as soon as we can.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
All right. With that, I want to thank the members of the community for coming out, and thank you all for your testimony. It was a great hearing, and members, thank you for your attendance. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.